Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spurti Financial Limited's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, CEO and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. Thank you for taking time out to attend our earnings call. This is the fifth quarter of the new management in Spandana, and I am satisfied to state that we've come a long way from a year back when, in July 2022, we had presented our Vision 2025. Since then, we've received a lot of valuable feedback, suggestions, and advice from all the stakeholders, for which we are very grateful. Please have the suggestions and advice flowing our way. We need them. As you are aware, we had identified five priorities for us as a management team when we presented Vision 25. We have made significant progress on each of the five priorities, and I would start by providing an update on those. Number one, and most important, people. Reinforcing senior and middle management teams, as announced in our last earnings call, we now have all the 13 key positions filled, and all the minus one levels are also adequately staffed. Thus, our senior leadership hiring agenda now stands complete with a strong management team in place. Our focus now is on setting up employee-centric people practices with the aim to make Spandana a preferred employer. We have started work on this already, and in the next two to three quarters, we intend to make progress on this key agenda item. The second point was strengthen governance, risk, and control with added focus on refining processes. A lot of our efforts in the previous year were dedicated in refining and further strengthening governance, risk, and control. We have been calibrating our exposure norms, tweaking policies where necessary to add strength to our governance framework. Streamlining processes was also a major focus area during the last five quarters. This is a continuous process, and we will keep working on it consistently. Number three, focus on customer acquisition-led business growth while ensuring retention of good existing customers. We continue to drive growth through member acquisition. We had added 8.8 lakh new borrowers during FY23, which is last year. In the current quarter as well, we've added 2.6 lakh new borrowers. As we expand in new geographies, our new borrower addition will continue to trend higher. By end of the year, we intend acquiring more than 1 million new customers, thus taking our customer base upwards of 3 million or thereabouts. Technology scale-up to deliver point number four, technology scale-up to deliver an end-to-end paperless process for customers. We are continuously scouting for and investing in technology to make our systems robust and process simple for our employees and customers. Our focus has been agile LOS and LMS, and most importantly, a safe and secure backend. We believe that technology will drive the next wave of growth. Point number five, customer-focused initiatives with emphasis on products and service. We had envisaged a non-microfinance loan book of over 2,000 crores by FY25 and are taking concrete steps in that direction. We have introduced loan against property in the new geography of Rajasthan. We will soon be launching the nano enterprise loans in select markets. We look forward to scaling up these product offerings in multiple markets in the coming quarters. This is apart from the 15,000 crore of book in microfinance, which we have planned end of FY25. Apart from the five priorities, we are well possessed of the fact that there is a large scope for building efficiencies in our distribution network. We are taking a number of steps to ensure right utilization of resources. We anticipate a 15%-20% improvement in efficiencies in the current distribution metrics that we operate, and over the next 2 to 3 quarters, we will see the benefits play out. Our focus on growing in the seven states, which were Rajasthan, UP, Bihar, Haryana, Tamil Nadu, West Bengal, and Gujarat, where we have a very low market share, continues to gain ground. Over the past 2 quarters, we opened a net 188 branches, most of which are in these focus states. We want Spandana to have a meaningful share of microfinance portfolio in these states. A large portion of our loan book and borrower addition growth is expected to come out of these seven states. As is there in the presentation, about 26% of new borrowers added during the quarter were from these seven focus states. While some of our initiatives result in immediate impact during the quarter, many others will take a quarter or two to translate into tangible results. But I can say this with reasonable surety that we are on the right track. Having said that, let me present the results of Q1 FY24. The results and the investor presentation was already uploaded on the NSE BSE websites. I'm sure you would have gone through, but I'll quickly go through the results. Disbursements, as you are aware, Q1 is usually a seasonally low quarter for the microfinance industry. We disbursed 1,664 crores during the quarter, up 26% YOY. On AUM, we ended the quarter at an AUM of 8848 crores, an all-time high for Spandana. This was 60% growth YOY and a growth of 4% over the previous quarter. Customer acquisition. One of the strong pillars of our Vision 2025 is customer acquisition-led growth strategy. During the quarter, we added close to 2.6 lakh new borrowers, which is 144% higher than the same quarter previous year. On the borrowing side, you are aware this is the key component of any NBFC and its functionings. The quarter saw a total borrowing of 1,540 crores, up 894 crores from last year, quarter one. Our marginal cost of borrowings was slightly lower at 12.3% as against 12.6% in Q4 of FY23. Weighted average cost of borrowing was largely stable at 12.5%, up by 9 bips over quarter 4 FY23. We continue to strengthen relationships with our borrowers while continuously having dialogue with other lender partners. On the portfolio quality, our portfolio quality continues to improve over the quarters. The standard, which is the current book, is at 97.1%, an improvement from 96.6% over the previous quarter, and a marked improvement from 68.4% in Q4 of FY22. The 1 to 90 bucket is 1.36% now, which was 1.54% in Q4 of FY23. Of the 1 to 90 book, 40%, that is 0.55%, is in 1 to 30 bucket. The GNPA end of Q1 FY24 now stands at 1.63%, and the NNPA is 0.49% on the back of improved quality and higher provisioning. Of the GNPA pool, about 42% is contributed by pre-April 21 book, which itself is 1.2% of the loan book now. On the collection efficiency front, net collection efficiency for the period was 98.1% as against 97.6% in quarter four. We continue to see improvements in net collection efficiency, which is a very healthy sign. Gross collection efficiency for the quarter was 101.5%. Our focus at the distribution level is net, because that is the timely repayment and that is what we are driving as a team. Financials for Q4. We continue to maintain a provision coverage of 70.1% on the consolidated book in the current quarter. NNPA has reduced to 0.49% and GNPA improved to 1.63%. The numbers for the previous quarter were 2.07 and 0.64. Our yield on the portfolio has improved to 24% from normalized yield of 22.8% in quarter four. and 16.4% in quarter one of FY23. NIM is 14.2%, that is up 38 basis points over normalized NIM of last quarter and 434 bps over quarter one of FY23. Total income for the quarter increased 104% to 527 crores versus 259 crores in Q1 of FY23. Net interest income was up 102% to 328 crores for the quarter versus 162 crores in quarter 1 FY23. PPOP for the quarter was 189 crores, up to 73% over 51 crores reported for the same quarter previous year. PBT for the quarter was 161 crores. PAT 119 crores, which is an increase of 13% sequentially over the past quarter. We had reported a loss of 220 crores during the same quarter of previous year, owing to a write-off of the 702 crores that we had done in Q1, as all of you are aware. So to summarize, we have the building blocks in place and now are completely focused on execution and delivery of our Vision 2025 targets. This year is all about efficiencies, productivity and refining processes. Our plans for having 1,500 operational branches by end of FY25 is on track. And over the past 6 months, we've opened, as I said earlier, 188 branches. We continue to build distribution where we feel there are opportunities. Obviously, quality of the specific geography drives our decision making. We continue to experience strong economic tailwinds in our markets, driving demand for microloans. We continue to be cautiously optimistic about the growth potential of the microfinance industry in India. I thank all the stakeholders of Spandana, the board, our lenders, and our colleagues in the Spandana who pooled in their energies during the year. A special note of thanks to all the branch staff, our loan officers, branch managers, and the entire field staff who work hard day in and day out to deliver the results that collectively all of us have envisaged. Thank you very much to all of you on the call. You have been a constant source of encouragement by giving us positive advice, feedback, and of course, support during the year. We look forward to receiving similar encouragement in the future. We have the entire management team with us and are ready to take questions from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Had the first question on the collection efficiency. So we've seen that collection efficiency for MFI lenders are ranging between 98 to 99%. So is it fair to assume that this is the new normal for the sector post-COVID now? And therefore, the credit cost will also broadly be increasing to, say, 1 to 2%?
See, for the, so there are two questions that you asked in that one question. The first is net collection efficiency is a timely repayment, and sometimes the payment comes with a lag. The payment comes with a lag for various reasons. You know, it is sometimes a company driven thing also. You know, the employee might be on leave, etc. You know, so there are various layers in this whole thing. The credit cost, if you have to look at, you have to look at it in the context of whether you are receiving the payment or not, and that is where you should look at gross collection efficiency. On the timely repayment, which is the fundamental discipline of microfinance, the net collection efficiency is what we are driving amongst our teams. To answer your question, Shripal, a 99% is what we are targeting in the short term. Is it a new norm? Maybe at this point in time. A credit cost of, while we've built in all our financials, a credit cost of 2%, we anticipate the number to be lower. A 1.25, any company, and not just us, any company, good company, and if it runs its model well, should not deliver a number, a loss, a credit loss of say a 1.5 or maybe a 1.6%. That's it. So that's the that's our take on this whole thing. We obviously have done some conservative estimates on the credit loss valuations, and that's where we are.
Got it, sir. Thank you. The second question was, you highlighted about tech initiatives. So what is the capex or expense that we are likely to incur over the next 1 year for this particular, for these initiatives? And on the OPEX, even during quarter, the employee cost was significantly high on a sequential basis. So what explains that?
Employee cost.
Hi, Shripal. This is Ashish this side. The employee costs are higher because we had gone through our annual increment cycle, and there is also a headcount increase which has happened, between last quarter around March and then again in this quarter as well for the branches that we have rolled out. So those are the two parameters which have kind of, had. But as you see, as we go along, the employee cost change on a sequential quarter basis, should normalize, because this was more of an annual increment exercise. You are seeing a jump between, previous quarter and this quarter.
On the second question, which is the year, this year our IT cost is about 75 crores of split into a capex of about 20 crores, and the balance is OPEX. We have budgeted this adequately until FY25, and we will do another 3 years exercise next year when we'll kind of bake the future years as well into this.
Got it, sir. Got it. So just last question, with respect to the income evaluation that we have to do as per the RBI norms. So if there is any household which has got household income of more than 3 lakh, firstly, what is the process that we have deployed for evaluating the household income? And secondly, if there is any household income who is making more than 3 lakh, then do we have a product for that customer?
At this point in time, Shripal, and in our various commentaries, we've been stressing the fact that we are very basic bread and butter people. We don't want to deviate, and hence the right answer to this question is that we will put them under the non-PSL, non-qualifying assets, and book them. But as of now, we are not approaching them. I mean, if it doesn't fall, then the lady is out. We don't source that case, because this year, as I said, last year and this year, we are just sticking to the fundamentals of business, and given the fact that we are doing the JLG model of microfinance, that is what we are pursuing.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and good luck for the next quarter, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manoj Oberoi from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is Rajiv. Congratulations on very strong set of numbers. So my first question is on growth. So, sir, were there any specific operational changes, still implemented in this first quarter? Because when I look at disbursement, they seem to be lower even adjusted for seasonality. So that is one. And another related question is there any change in duration of the portfolio over the last two quarters? Because I see portfolio runoff in this quarter being slightly slower than usual.
So the second part of your question I understood. Can you just repeat the first part? Sorry, I didn't understand.
Yeah, so were there any specific operational changes on the ground which also led to lower disbursement in this quarter besides the usual seasonality?
Manoj, we have a defined goal in mind. Rajiv, is it?
Yeah. Rajiv this side, yeah.
There's a different name flashing here anyway, sorry. So Rajiv, we have a defined goal in mind on FY24 and FY25. As you've seen the presentation, we are already at 8848. We are very close to, about the 9,000 mark, just about 50 crores.
Mm.
We are in no hurry to report Microfinance is all about pacing your innings. Microfinance is not a T20. Microfinance is a test match. And the test match has to last the full 5 days. You know, you don't have to end the test in 3 days or 4 days. We know exactly what we are doing. Just because there is an opportunity, there you cannot or should not change or alter your plan. We are cognizant that, and I will repeat this, microfinance is a risk management business. It is not an asset business. It is important that the teams on the ground are culturally aligned to the sense of responsibility that you do not, as an institution, deviate on the quality that you are sourcing. Hence, I heard your question, or rather your observation. My view is that we know exactly where we have to end, and we've given the last call also, there was a point on this. We are in no hurry to end the match in 3 days. Our goal defined this year and next year, which is 15,000 crores in FY25, is fixed. It could be a few hundred crores here and there. In all likelihood, it will be over. But very difficult to kind of stick our neck out and say, instead of 15, we'll do 17. You know, there's no need. The past, there's enough history that if you are not cautious, you know, you end up burning your fingers, hands, and everything. So, you know, so that is very clear. We'll pace our innings to ensure that the quality is delivered, and that is what, you know, that is how we are doing. So we had said in the last call that, you know, we as an institution have to very, very clearly deliver quality apart from the top line as well. And that is what we've been, if you would have followed our numbers over the past 4 quarters, that we've been coming here. You know, you will kind of, that's a testimony of the fact. So, you know, so we are very cautious of, cautious lending is the right approach in my view. Quarter one, either way, you know, this is what was the plan, and we are just about there. So in our view, we are, you know, that's where, that's the, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Got that. And now the question is on NIM outlook, because so what is the space for the portfolio yield further moving up, because it has moved pretty significantly in the last 2 quarters. And secondly, the other variable for NIM will be the cost of fund. And I see marginal cost of fund coming down, and we also raising sizable sums of money at lower cost. So basis the expected movement in cost of funds over the next few quarters, and maybe more residual repricing of portfolio, where do you think the NIM can go to?
Hi, Rajiv. Good evening. Yes, there is a quarter or two more for our you know, NIMs to see at least around the same numbers or some small expansion as well, primarily on account of, you know, yield probably inching up a little bit more. Given that we've been lending at 25%, there is a little headroom there. We are presently at 24%. You would never hit the 25, but there is still a little bit of headroom there, right? So a quarter or two, you may continue to see some inching up. On the cost of fund side, I think we've seen a drop last quarter. We hope to, you know, see a little more drop, given that as a institution, we have been having a consistent performance for last 5 quarters now. I think there is a scope of improvement in terms of, you know, how or what kind of pricing that we are borrowing at. So yes, we are positively inclined to maintain the NIMs at the current levels.
Sure. Ashish, can I just ask one more question before I move back?
Sure. Go ahead.
It is on the provisioning line. So there is a 26 crore provision made against receivables from assignment portfolio. It can't be against a direct assignment portfolio, right? So what is it pertaining to?
So this is a direct assignment only. So there were certain customers where the collections did not go through, and we during the period earlier period we have when we did not have the IT or whatever information, we have kind of have paid in advance to the banks. We are still trying to collect it from the customers. As a prudence, we have kind of provided against that portfolio just to have clean set of books.
Yeah, so any more hit likely here, or we are done with this?
We still have about 24 crores of portfolio which is there, which we will have to see and calibrate as we go along.
Got it. Thank you so much. And best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. If I heard you correctly, you expect credit cost to be 1.5-1.6% for the year. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But what is the outlook? Because we still keep getting mixed commentaries with respect to rural recovery, etc. What is your outlook in terms of how the economy is shaping up on that side of the country?
So, look, the credit demand is very strong. And we have seen a lot of turnaround from a quality point of view. So, so that is the heartening fact in this whole microfinance story. So microfinance over a period of time has been, has seen lots of ups and downs. And post-COVID, it's been a year now, year and a half, that, it has seen strong tailwinds, both from the economy point of view and the heavy investment that the government is doing infrastructurally in all the in the Bharat of India. So my from a quality point of view, I think if you run the operations well, the number that I said should hold, that unless there are some unforeseen unknown issues which might not be which might not kind of favor the industry. As far as the industry is concerned, concentration risk is very, very important, and as an enterprise, we are ensuring that we walk the steps to ensure the concentrations are moderated across the states where you see the there are elevated levels on the market share and the contribution that a specific state does gives to us. So that is what we are working at, and we have until FY25. Right now, we have a couple of states at a 14-15% contribution. We have a clear plan to get them down to 11-12%. So in our estimate, combination of concentration plus good execution of the field, good execution of the model, relying on JLG to ensure that there is a safety net, are the critical components of this model. And I have reasonable, I can say this with reasonable surety, that if all of these are done well, there's a good chance that, as an enterprise, you will stand to gain on this.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Shail from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Shalabha and team, and congrats on a very good set of numbers. I had two questions. One, has there any write-off during quarter and any recoveries from the previous return of quarter? Any number on that? Do you have it?
Yeah, so write-off for the quarter is based on the policy that we have taken up last quarter, which is any loans which move into 455 plus days, we will kind of take it to technical write-off. The number was 21 crores. The impact of this was around 5.8 crores in the P&L. In terms of recovery, the total recovery that we had was 23 crores across the write-off pool.
So of the 700 crores and the other write-offs that we have done, we've collected all put together about 90 crores is the specific question that you asked from the time we started this journey.
That's very helpful. And secondly, you've been doing pretty good on the MFI side. And as you rightly pointed out earlier, that more and more focus would be on incremental branches and states. I asked the same question last time as well. But if you can, brief out a little bit more in detail about our other than MFI businesses, how we are shaping up and how we are seeing that thing happening over a period of next 2 years, but at least how the beginning had been there. If you can give some idea on it, that would be really helpful, other than your MFI business.
So, Jignesh, it's early for us to, we've started booking loans on the LAP side. We will launch the Nano Enterprise, which is the small ticket loans to retailers, a 60,000 ticket size is the number that we will start with. It is a non-JLG business. That should start in the, in this quarter. These two businesses this year is testing the waters and, seeing how it goes. These are pretty fast moving. There is an opportunity, a lot of opportunity, and we'll continue to focus on the lower ticket sizes. We are not intending to give loans of 20 lakhs, 25 lakhs on the LAP, for example. Our sweet spot is 5 lakh to 7 lakhs. And on the Nano Enterprise, I said we will our loans will be at a 60,000 to 1 lakh. So those there is tremendous demand for these loans because this is the missing segment. The banks don't go after them, and their business mostly survives on borrowings from friends and relatives. So once again, being unsecured in nature, at least the Nano Enterprise, we have to be cautious, and that is what we will. On the LAP side, it obviously is a secured business, and that we are focusing on productivity. It is a slightly longish gestation period business. It's not a MFI which turns around very fast, but it holds tremendous promise for the profile of customers and the segment that we have identified. And maybe next quarter, when we come, we will have more color on this because we'll have some volumes backing whatever we speak. Right now, it is insignificant volume to kind of, give any commentary on.
Understood. But just one thing, that this will be all focused on the new customer base altogether, right? Not to the existing one that is much.
Yeah, so absolutely. And what we have done is that we have opened separate set of branches. We have we are not cutting corners by putting them into MFI branches because ultimately it is the same institution. But we are very clear, we are not making the model fungible. We are not cutting corners. Where to open a branch is a factor of the geography and the potential and has nothing to do with whether Spandana is around or not. The Spandana MFI is around or not. It is a completely new set from a chief business officer down to the loan officer. It is a complete separate team. It works differently. It works, and the hirings have been done from the industry so that they have a fair color of how this plays out. It's a new business for us, but it holds a lot of promise. The new business, so we have launched in the state of Rajasthan. I don't know if you are aware or not, but when we took over this book, this is not a new business for Spandana because this was being done in Andhra and Telangana. We had a book of about 117 crores when I had taken over, and now it is around 51, 52 crores. It has run down because we were looking for a good LMS and LOS. We wanted to do business properly, and just because the opportunity was good, we really did not hurry into launching this business. So we were servicing our existing book. We stopped all disbursements for a year. That is why the book ran down from 117 crores to 51 crores. Now we have started in a different state, which is Rajasthan, which is supposedly a fertile geography for this kind of a setup because the customers are evolved there. And you know, we see a lot of demand in this. We see a lot of demand, available demand, and untapped demand in this market, in this segment, and that is what we will continue to progress on.
Understood. And is it fair to assume that the yield on this new segments would be lower than your typical MFI portfolio, but the tenure would be longer one, so the EOM will become more stickier?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. Understood. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Understood. Yeah. All the best, and thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Shalabh and Ashish. Congrats for good set of numbers. Sir, just two questions from my side. One is a bit on the qualitative side. So since we have started this journey of, you know, weekly collection model, so of the total MFI branches which are on the weekly collection, is there any split, let's say, how much of this would be earlier into monthly model?
No, no. So the new branches, Renish, that we are opening irrespective of the states will be weekly. That is number one. Number two, for a customer who you've contracted at a monthly, you know, it would be unfair for us to, you know, walk weekly path because might not be the, might not happen. So we have a clearly laid out plan in terms of how do you convert, or rather, you know, phase, how do you phase out the current monthly model across the branches, because we have three sets of branches which are low on AUM, medium AUM, and very big branches. The very big branches are at some 285 or 86 numbers out of the 1100-1200. So those branches we will not touch this year. There's other things that we are doing, but they will remain monthly. The other branches, we have a phase-wise plan on how do you kind of recalibrate them to convert them into a weekly. Because by definition, about 60-70% in a steady state business will go to an existing customer. And if the business, if you keep on booking a monthly loan, this will never really work. So you will never be able to depart from the monthly. So we are believers in the weekly model, just as we are strong believers in the JLG. So there's a clearly articulated plan internally that we have on how are we going to move the existing set of monthly branches into the weekly.
Okay. And let's say while implementing this, have you witnessed any let's say pushback from the client or the staff, you know, wherein we might see some pushback in implementing the weekly model?
Weekly model. So what are we attempting to do, Renish? We are attempting to do all the three things, which is a customer acquisition, a collection, and a disbursement. All the three things every single day of the 20 working days that you have, 2021. The new set of branches that we have opened is a fresh staff, and that is an easier one. You know, most of our team members do realize, and any event such as a COVID or, maybe a demonetization which happened many years back, in case whenever there are challenges in the environment, the weekly model comes out of a crisis much quicker than the others, because the liability, at least at a EMI level, is a very nominal 600-650 rupees instead of the 2400-2500. Now the point is that the answer to your question is we've got very good support from our people. The plan was made taking them very much on board in terms of how they are doing. Plus, what happens is that when it comes to a Monday to Friday rigor, Renish, what happens is the staff gets a Saturday, Sunday, you know, which is much more relaxed rather than the earlier regimented approach of a Saturday, Sunday, because we had a different collection model of 1st to 10th. So the long answer to your question, we have got very good support because we took them into confidence before walking this path. And now, obviously, you know, we are progressing on that.
Got it. And then secondly, on the let's say growth side, so you know we have seen most of the companies reporting better numbers, you know, in Q1 despite being the seasonally weak quarter. And if I recall our guidance, you know, for 24-25, we had laid down a year back. I think since then the you know industry or let's say the business cycle has changed dramatically. So would you like to give, let's say, a revised guidance or any commentary on the guidance which you have put down a year back?
So if you look at our numbers, we ended the last year at 8,511 crores.
Right, sir.
We are at 8,848 now. If all goes as per plan, we will hit the 10,000 number in either the last month of this quarter or the first month of the next quarter. So we should end the year at about 11,750 to 12,000, you know, roughly that is the number that we are looking at, which works out to, in my mind, you know, a decent YOY growth, you know, from a 851. So anything more would not, and this growth is coming from the new areas, you know, so that is very, very critical. One should be, we are opening those new geographies, new branches, which will kind of deliver the numbers that we are talking to. We are not, earlier also we've stated this position that we are not great fans of big ticket sizes. We'll continue to, you know, deliver loans in small packets. And that is what we are planning to do, you know, and that's the and that is why the numbers on the customer acquisition side you would have seen. Maybe two quarters from now, we will see what is the movement on the we will evaluate the movement on the ticket sizes. I understand there's an inflationary 6% increase that ideally one should be doing on a ticket size to stay at par. But we are at this point in time, we are not facing any resistance. We are not facing any resistance either from the customer or our employees, and we are happy that way. We are clear that more number of customers is the way to go, and not really, you know.
In fact, Renish, I'll just add a point about what Shala was trying to allude to. If you look at our ticket sizes this quarter, I think the weekly is coming into play now, given that we have weekly business at 35,000 in the first ticket size instead of 42, which we do in a monthly setup. That has, I think, impacted our average ticket sizes. It is marginally lower compared to last quarter. We're at around 42,000 plus.
So, Renish, if you see, within our company, we are following two ticket sizes. But then, in a ticket, in a cycle one, monthly, our ticket size is 40,000. In a weekly model, whichever the 188 branches that we have opened, the ticket size is 35,000. And that's the start point. So we are convinced that, you know, you don't lose a customer for 3,000, 5,000 rupees. You have, there are other things which come into play, which is what is your conduct with the customer? What is your, you know, approach? Are you there when the customer needs a loan? How's your dealing? Is it transparent? You know, so the larger point is that you have to be convinced of the position you are taking, and you should not be outpriced. So, you know, that is also very critical. You know, so suddenly you can't be an outlier in the market when the world is giving you $100. You can't be ending up with a $50, you know, so that we are cognizant of that. So there's a, you have to keep on balancing and recalibrating and calibrating. But as of now, you know, we've chosen this path and we will keep on evaluating our position as we move ahead.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, one question on the cost to income side. So where do you see it settling down? I think we had a little bit spike in this quarter, but as you explained, it was because of employee cost, maybe increments. But where do we want to settle it?
The sweet spot is 30, more than north of 35, south of 40. So once the things are stabilized, a 37-38% is a good number to kind of operate in. Anything less would not be fair on the employee, and anything more is not fair on the balance sheet. So that is what is our view. So 37-38, any number which is between 35-36 to a south of 40. I mean, any number starting with 35 or until 39 is a good number as per us.
Understood. And on the ticket size question, so your number of borrowers as in slide number 5 has not increased much. It's maybe 12-13% up only YOY, while the AUM is up 60%. So overall ticket size per client would have increased quite a lot, right? YOY, if you just do the average.
Yeah, hi, Sarvesh. Yes, what basically we have done is we have kind of written off a lot of portfolio last year, and that has impacted a cleanup on the number of borrower side. Since the customers had, you know, the trail portfolio also coming from the COVID period and all, the amount outstanding adjustment probably was lower, but the number of customers is anyways the denominator kind of shrunk really big time. That's the impact that you see. But if you look at the number of customers we have added last quarter, like Shalabh was explaining, 8.7, last year 8.7 lakh customers. This quarter, 2.6 lakh customers is what we have added. So the number of borrowers will continue to increase from here on, and you know, the exposure piece will be settled. Even if you look at with the current base, the average outstanding probably is around 37,000 rupees, which is very much in line with the industry. In fact, marginally lower compared to the industry. So I think we are very well placed there. The ticket size, like we talked about, is a factor of what kinds of loans you do. We have a very standard income generating loans only, which is a company we are doing. In fact, most of our loans are 2 years, so the ticket size will be slightly higher compared to, you know, people who do, let's say, 1 year loans, or people who are doing, let's say, cross sell loans which are 6 months and all with smaller ticket sizes. So it's a factor of what is there in the denominator and numerator. For us, it's a plain vanilla income generating loans, and that's why probably ticket size stick to be a slightly higher compared, in fact I would not say higher anymore. It is in line with the industry, but if you look at the exposure, we will be marginally lower.
Understood. And you know, last quarter commentary was that you know, our business as usual ROA should be around 4.5%. Now this quarter we have already reached 6%, and you know, there's scope for cost to income to go down, NIMs to improve, cost of funds to go down. You are also saying that your credit cost, which was earlier maybe 2% BAU, now is going trending down to 1-1.5%. So is there a, I mean, major upside on your ROAs from the current 6% as well?
So, you know, see, this is a business where we don't know what we don't know. So you still have to be agile, and it is always good to plan conservatively. And not go overboard. This was the first question also where I kind of gave a longish answer. We are, and while you've not asked, but our comfort is a 14% NIMS, cost to income of what I said, you know, 35-39%. It's very important that our yields have gone up to 24. I think they'll stabilize at this number now, because we had increased our rates. I think next quarter might be a slight delta up, and then it will stabilize, because we haven't had rate hike since the September or I think October of last year. So we are the stability is what we are looking for at this point in time, Sarvesh. And what we are, we'll still calibrate. But yes, the numbers are what they are. But on a steady state, what we were confident of is what we told you, the 4.5 that we spoke about. And I think, you know, if it is more, then it is good. But I mean, that much we'll deliver for sure.
Understood. Final question on the employee hiring. So, of course, you know, you are adding the non-MFI portfolio as well as, you know, expanding rapidly in the last two quarters. So what's been the experience there? Because, you know, all the companies are doing quite well. So isn't it like very difficult to get talent at all levels to be done, you know, properly? Because you have just started expanding since the last one or two quarter, and now, you know, the entire industry is firing up and everybody would have potentially a propensity to pay higher or retain. So in that scenario, I mean, how do we sort of operate with our plans, which will in, which will mean a lot more branches and a lot more employees, even in the new product side?
So one of the key things is people, and we have to ensure that we have people who stay with us and are able to deliver quality. When it comes to employees at a branch level, which is a branch manager and a loan officer, we will always have that standard churn. We will have the, you know, the churn, which is the standard 30, 35, 40%. Microfinance is all about robotic execution of the plan. How you are able to execute the processes, and how you are able to ensure that they see a future in you as an organization. For whatever Spandana is, and I'm you know, very happy to report that over the past 1 year we have got very good talent. We've been able to attract very good talent, and this includes people at the branch level. And when I say branch level, the branch manager is a critical cog to this whole wheel. You know, LO churn, loan officer churn will happen. That is inevitable, but you have to control the branch manager's churn and or, you know, attrition. That you have to, as an organization, ensure that your entire might is behind it. So we have taken various initiatives to ensure that, you know, we kind of, while there's a future in it, in this for everyone. But, you know, if you are able to control the attrition at a branch manager level, you are sorted as an institution. Because the branch manager is the CEO of that entire geography of 30 kilometers, 35 kilometers radius that he operates in, and he will ensure that, you know, the other things are set into place. From an from a pure philosophy perspective, I am not saying, you know, we are there yet, but at a LO level, we should hire freshers. These new geographies where we are going, we are having, you know, we will kind of walk that path, because we can't have a completely new set of people. The entire network or the entire hierarchy can't be new. So we are doing some bit of lateral hirings, but however, when it comes to approach point of view, and we will get there sooner than later, the LO will have to be from the market without a microfinance background. Your branch manager's duty, it is to train the employee and ensure that he executes for you. This country is a 1.3 billion, 1.4 billion population. You will have enough and more people to kind of, you know, come to you, provided they see good enough money. At 20,000 rupees, if the employee makes good enough for their place where they live. And our duty is to ensure we create the environment so that, you know, the career part is taken care of. So it's a, we can have a separate discussion on this, but and that's why I said, you know, we are not there yet, because, you know, we are trying to open new branches at faster pace. But in a steady state, that is where we'll get to.
Understood. And did I hear you right when you said that FY24 target might be around 10,750 crores, which is like a 25% AUM growth for this year?
Q3.
Yeah. Oh, CY. Okay, understood. Thank you. Thanks, Chalab, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan from Agile Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of a number. I have two questions. What is the stabilized ROA? Are we looking at the most probably financial year 25-25? So you have guided for AUM for financial year 24 and financial year 25. I have mean, what is your internal estimate, if you could?
Hi, Rohan. You know, so ROA, I think Shalab just explained on the call a little while back. We are committed to, you know, giving more than 4.5% ROA in a stabilized or a BAU basis. Currently, the number anyways is trending higher than what we have committed for. I think the way business is shaping up, we are very well placed to meet the guidance of 4.5% and the AUM of 15,000 crores by FY25. We don't see any hitch around any of these numbers which we have committed.
Okay.
Let me just supplement, because I've been hearing this commentary. We are not selling consumer durables or commodities. This is finance where you have to get the money back. It is very critical that you deliver quality, and hence, you know, while over the period, you know, you will have those ups and downs for sure. But as long as you are in the guidance of the sub 2% during this conversation itself, I have quoted a number of 1.5, 1.6 twice over. As long as you are in that range, you will see the numbers going up, down, you know, marginally. But you have to operate in that range to deliver the number that we are talking of. As long as you are there, you know, you should not be worried about, you know, while right now the graph of the GNPAs and the SMAs, all of that is sliding down. You could see in the future some bips going up. It could further go down from here as well. All I'm trying to mention is that you will have those seasonal plays, you will have those a few issues here and there, but what is very critical is the larger point, that you know, you have to operate in that range, which is deliver quantity along with quality. As long as the framework, if you are able to deliver in that framework which you came out with under the Vision 25, we should be fine. And that is what we are focused on.
Okay. The second question was, if you could just kind of highlight which of the states are now dominating your disbursement for the quarter and also the portion of your overall loan book.
Because this was a suggestion in the last call, somebody had, I'm forgetting the name, you know, slide number 19, in the annexures, we have given the state-wise split. So we have and it's a good question, but I'll extend with your permission the question and I'll give you the answer also. The 16%, so we are, there are two states, 16% is Madhya Pradesh, 15% is Orissa, and then there are 11% and 10%. In our, by end of FY25, if all goes well, all the big ones should be anywhere in the range of 10 to 11%, at best 12%. So that is our comfort zone, you know. So comfort zone is 12% max contribution from a state, the plan is such, and that is why the focus on the seven states, because wahan par hamara, you know, we don't have great market share, and those are good potential places. So this year in those seven states, we will end of the total AUM, we will have about 23% coming from these seven states. End of next year, which is FY25, that will go to about 44-45%. So that is the overall larger picture. This solves the concentration problem also, which is the end objective, or which is the objective that we are running at. And we will work our way to ensure that, you know, that is the number that we will be, you know, end of FY25. We have already started seeing the results over the past quarter, three quarters in fact, and this trend will continue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sagar Rungta from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Shalab and Mr. Ashish. Just one question from my side. If you could give a broad color on the foil levels of your new customer acquisition from the focus states and, cap at which Spandana as an organization looks at.
Fire levels, did I hear you right?
Yes.
Yeah, so look, we work within the norms, and whatever is allowable is what we will do. You know, because that you can't really fight the, there's no point. There is a clearly defined, sensible and a right approach which has been prescribed, and we will follow that. That's number one. What is in our control are the levels of lending, and hence we track the indebtedness level at a borrower, and not the ticket size, because in our view, looking at ticket size does not give the full picture. You know, the indebtedness level at a customer has to be looked at, and that is what we track. And over a period of time, over the ticket sizes also, as more and more we keep on, and I think in the beginning of the commentary, I had said that the seven states that we have started our business, you know, we've reduced our, we operate on a lower ticket size. In fact, 80,000 on a cycle 4 customer is the max that we give in Spandana, which will probably be one of the, it is a lower number than the industry. You know, the industry is already hit 100,000, 125,000, you know, all kinds of numbers are floating around. We are not ticket size players. We are not a higher ticket size player. You might lose out a customer, so be it. Our experience says that, you know, a good relationship and a transparent conduct drives the relationship, not a ticket size for that matter. And that is what we'll keep on pursuing. So the larger question is, what is the compromise you are doing when you operate in this segment? We focus on the JLG. In fact, as I said the last time, I mean, we've been making this point. All the new branches that we are opening anywhere now are weekly models, you know, so that is our belief in the system, and the JLG is something that we strongly believe in. So you will continue to pursue this, and we'll continue to take ticket size, something that we never gets us excited, and for whatever reason, you know, we kind of tend to shy away from that.
Yes, so my question was more in terms of if you have a broad idea on the foil levels of the customers.
So we can, I mean, I don't have the data handy, but see, it's a very black and white, you know, if you are installed, what are you allowed? You are allowed 150,000 rupees at a household level of the installment, you know, that's the max. This is a practice that I have heard, that people have started increasing the tenure of the loans to kind of fit into this. Once again, not a great fan of this idea. You know, this is a unsecured lending. Unsecured lending, 24 months is the max that one should look at. And at this point in time, we will hold on to this. The FOIR level, so if they qualify, I will get you the numbers if you want. What you want to know is how much is the headway within that customer's household. Correct? That's the question in a different way, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we don't have the numbers right now. We'll find it out.
No worries, I'll take it offline, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take the last question. This was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Over to you all.
Yeah, so thank you for, thank you for attending this call. I thank every single person who has at different points in time have engaged with us, and they have given their, advice to us in terms of various elements, something related to business, something which is outside of business, and so on and so forth. Please continue supporting us, and we from our side are very clearly have a clearly defined way forward until FY25. And FY25 is what is driving the vision. 2025 is what is driving us, and we'll continue to tread our path. Quantity with quality is what we will focus on, and that is what we are working on. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.